Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW All Out After Show, and have we got a show for you. We've got murder attempts, we've got more murder attempts, and we even got more murder attempts trying to kill people. My name's Jack Farmer, and I'm being joined by Emily May. Emily, for the folks at home who may not know, you and I, we go way back. We've worked together a million times, but this is the first time on Wrestling Inc. How are you doing, friend?
It is. I'm so happy to see you. I'm so excited that we're working together again. And we go way back. I mean, I think I have us dressed in like elf costumes, like in holiday sweaters. So yeah. I'll pull that out later.
Yeah, we did have a Christmas party. We were dressed as elves in a studio in Hollywood a few years ago, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Now, it does. I feel like it does.
Maria Menounos was there. It was a good time.
So strange.
but fun times. And what a show we get to cover tonight. This was a crazy one, and we're going to get into it. But I know you've been on a few wrestling shows, but I want everyone who's here tonight, to know just like how seasoned you are. You didn't just wind up here. Of course, we first worked together at AfterBuzz TV, but we've also worked together in wrestling at Championship Wrestling, United Wrestling Network, Primetime Live, that whole series. But you're also at New Japan Pro Wrestling. You've also Mission Pro. You've also covered wrestling for all sorts of places. Tell the world anything I'm missing here. You're a veteran.
I don't know. I think you covered it. Yeah. I mean, you could see me on New Japan programming. I cover all the pay-per-views all over the world. I just got back from London and Berlin. I'm just kind of a world traveling broadcaster in the world of wrestling. So you can follow me like below and catch up on all my adventures.
Yeah, definitely check out Emily. Let's talk a bit about the people who are joining us tonight. So I always call them, a lot of people call them the chat. Some people call them the fans or the viewers. I call them the co-hosts because they're a part of the show. And that's everyone here in the chat with us. We got I Am Error. We got Jay Willie. We got Laura Rock, Peter P, Beer Money, Richard O'Malley.
Oh my gosh.
Stress LA. Is that how you pronounce it there?
Stressful.
Yeah, maybe runs on electricity. James Winter, Max.
I was stressed during this pay-per-view.
This was a stressful one, but fortunately, we're going to start out pretty easy. And everyone in the chat, by the way, oh, Jonathan Torres, Jose Lurkin. I forgot to, by the way, I like to shout out what I call the lurkers, the people who are here, but they're not lurkers. A part of the chat. They're lurking. I shout them out as well. Adonde here.
That sounds bad.
we embrace the lurker. here. We appreciate you all. But also, if you're here, like, comment, share, subscribe, hit a 5-star review. In fact, hit a 5-star review and say you like the dynamite team of Jack Farmer and Emily May. Didn't even mean to have the whole comparison to AEW Dynamite, but we're a dynamite team. Let's just say it. So 0 hour, we're going to quickly cover this because we got a lot to talk about on the main card here, but the Acclaimed beat the Iron Savages. The Premier Athletes lost to Dustin Rhodes, Sammy Guevara, and Hologram. Bang Bang Gang beat Dark Order, and the Undisputed Kingdom beat the Beast Mortos and Shane Taylor Productions and Top Flight Action Andretti. But I think the real story happened on 0 hour. Sky Blue and Mariah May had a run, and Sky Blue, hometown, Chicago, everyone's excited to see her. Mariah May comes out, doesn't just spoil the party, but decides not to have her own championship party, attacks Sky Blue before Queen Aminata chases her off. Any thoughts on 0 hour?
I mean, this was, you know, obviously you have to get the crowd really excited, ready to go for the pay-per-view. And this, all these matches definitely did it. But I think it was interesting. Obviously, Sky Blue has been, you know, she mentioned how important All Out is. Obviously, hometown hero. You know, she has that ankle injury, so she's dealing with that. But I liked how, you know, we got to see her a little bit. She mm-hmm. seems to be still on crutches, still recovering. Wasn't very nice of Mariah May, but I guess as champion, you can do whatever you want.
That no good Nick Mariah May. But Sky Blue is one of the real popular organic homegrown faces mm-hmm. in AEW. So hopefully she can make a return sooner yeah. rather than later. I want to know, everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments, let me know, do you do 0 hour? Do you watch the pre-shows? AEW typically has a very long pay-per-view show. So I'm curious how many people who watch the show are also watching 0 hour. Something I like to throw out there, Emily, and you're probably on the same wavelength as this, but it's one of a lot of people, they have dreams in the wrestling world. Mm-hmm. I want to host a pre-show. I want to be on a 0 hour. That's my goal one day. Really? I want to.
Yeah. I mean, I saw your little tweet and yeah. you always have
little.
To.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Your ex. What is it called now?
I mean, my very impressive tweet is what.
Very impressive tweet. I think we all have to have aspirations, right? We have to put in all of those feelings and manifestations out, right? Into yeah. the world. So, you know, we all dream of having those moments. So do it, Jack. Yeah. Dream it.
One of these days, Tony Khan, if you're watching, pick up the phone. Give me a call.
I think he's busy doing the post show right now.
Tell everyone in the what do they call the room there with all the press room? Tell them just hold on a second.
What were you going to call the boot room? What?
The booth. I was going to say the booth.
The booth.
yeah, you've had some success in one of those. I've been in there too. Very fun. Very exciting.
Yeah. You never know what can happen. Seriously.
yeah. Didn't The Rock shout you out?
Yes.
So there you go.
Yeah. I either thought I was going to get kicked out of the room. But it didn't happen. So it was good.
So let's talk about the show. Let's talk about All Out, because this is a lot of stuff to break down. I loved this show, by the way. I thought it was a great show, but I do have some feedback on it. It's not going to be all roses and lollipops. I got my feedback. But we start. MJF versus Daniel Garcia. The story going into this one is MJF almost broke Daniel Garcia's neck, so Garcia cost MJF the American Championship, as it was known at the time. Things get so personal that Garcia jumps MJF as soon as MJF gets to the ring. Garcia has a chance to win, but instead tries to end MJF's career, eventually opening things up for MJF to hit a low blow and get the win. After the match, MJF fakes a show of respect, but Garcia sees it coming, catches the kick, and drops MJF on his head before going back through the crowd. I thought this was a fantastic way to start the show, but Emily May, what were your thoughts?
Oh my gosh, don't trust MJF!
Right.
We should know this by now. Oh, Phil!
Aww. Phil and Matthew's shouting out Phil. I never met Aww. Phil. We were two really? Passing ships in the night. Yeah, never met him.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, Phil's a producer back in the day. Yeah, never trust MJF. MJF is totally like, and obviously is post All In. is going through it, obviously, is having some feelings, brought them out in the match tonight. And Daniel Garcia was not wanting to get the action started right away. Wasn't messing around. I think everyone was excited to see him. Obviously he was the big surprise a few weeks ago. So this has been building, right? All of the matches overall tonight had some type of bubbling, like, revenge story to them. That's like the theme of tonight.
Oh, this was absolutely a hate-filled show.
Murder, hate.
Former friend, AfterBuzz friend as well, Cedric Wilton, I saw on Twitter, said something along the lines of hate won tonight. And I can't help but believe that's true. Something that I thought about this as I'm watching this, I thought this was perfect. I thought this was a perfect match in the sense that it had everything as far as you're looking for in pro wrestling, but it had a great story going into it. Mm-hmm. And it felt like that story mattered throughout the match. It didn't. Sometimes you have these matches where they're like, I hate you. And then they get into a collar and elbow tie up. And you're like, why are you wrestling like this is any other match?
Like, you have to really hate each other. Show that you hate each other, right?
They absolutely hated each other. They beat each other up. I also love the fact that it was emotional. Like, you felt emotion. It wasn't just we're acting this part.
Yeah.
MJF won, as you'd assume he would. But Garcia still looked great because of the after-match action. So I feel like everyone came out looking good.
And that's the thing. It's like, just because you lose doesn't mean your moment is gone, right? Like, I feel like even though MJF won, Garcia shined, right? There was those moments of, like, they're like trading those submissions and things like that. And both of them looked really, really strong. The hatred and, like, the vitriol, you could sense it between them.
Yeah.
And just the tension. And to kick off a pay-per-view with a match like this, with a, you know, a huge star like MJF and someone that's kind of returning to the storylines of AEW and kind of building their momentum again, like, this was a really good one to start off.
So I have a very high ceiling for Daniel Garcia. Obviously, MJF is a star, obviously. Like, he's the guy. But I believe when all is said and done, Daniel Garcia is going to be one of the top guys for this company. I think he can, like, as we said, I think he played his part in this match perfectly. But I tweeted that, and I got some people who were very upset that I believe. And people are not a fan of belief.
You don't
Twitter.
Believe.
So
people don't believe in Daniel Garcia.
But what are your thoughts on Daniel Garcia? Am I overdoing it, or do you think Daniel Garcia could be the guy?
I mean, I think it has to be the right championship. I don't necessarily see him as, like, a world champion right now. I don't think it's, like, in the cards in the next year or two, but, like, I think he has to find his, no pun intended, his foothold in the trajectory of what championship fits him.
Right.
Because there's other ones that are kind of top dogs right now. So it's like, which one are you going to knock off to make it happen?
Well, this is the thing I always try to remind people of too with Daniel Garcia is he's 25 years old.
He has so much time.
So that's, and you look at where he's at. He's in a great match with MJF. He's 25. I mean, if he doesn't do anything for 3 years, he's still further along in his career than where Bryan Danielson was when he was 28. Because that's when Bryan Danielson signed with WWE. So,
well, I was like, well,
I mean, but that's when he was first starting with WWE. So, look, 25.
I think that's fine. Like, he doesn't need to rush. Like, he can take his time. Like, really think out the trajectory of what he wants. Like, in 5 years, I would say he's a top person. But I think right now he's developing his style, who he is, what he wants his AEW moment to be. And he's had some amazing moments so far. And this match is included in that. But I think down the line, I think there's other ones. Again, it's a chess game, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Right. And that's why I say when all is said and done, I'm not saying he's winning the world championship before the end of the year, he's going to do just fine.
Check out people's responses to your tweet.
It's Twitter. So they're not very, not really fun to read. It's mostly just emojis and GIFs and stuff. But last thing on this, and I want everyone in the chat's thoughts. Do you think the right person won. Because again, on social media, I saw a lot of people were unhappy that Garcia didn't get the win. They thought he needed to get the win. But at the same time, I got a feeling if MJF lost, everyone would say, oh my gosh, MJF has lost twice in a row. They're dropping the ball. I feel like they wouldn't have been happy either. So in your opinion, do you think they got it right? Was MJF the right person to win?
I think he was, because he's coming off, you know, he needed this, right? And Garcia still like needed this as well, but like they both got over. Because even though, you know, one obviously has to win, unless it's like a, you know, a complete you know, like a DQ, it's not, but like both of them won in this situation. Like one got over with the fans and one got the win.
Something Jimmy likes to say is getting over without going over, which I think is the way I would phrase this situation here. And so, yeah, I agree with that. I think that was absolutely the case. It seems like everyone in the chat here seems to agree with that as well. Yeah. So, pretty so far, so far, so good.
I want some fights in the chat to happen. I know we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get some battles here. We're going to go move on to the tag team championship. Wheeler Yuta and Claudio Castagnoli versus the Young Bucks. Now, I know what happened later in the night. And so everyone in the chat, everyone who's with us here, we're going to talk about what the Blackpool Combat Club later.
Hold your horses.
Calm down. We'll get there.
Calm down.
AEW Tag Team Championship match. I thought this was a fun one. Young Bucks retain. I thought this was a nice change of pace from the opener. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, we needed to have, you know, this tag match. It's important. Obviously, the Young Bucks are trying to, you know, retain their championship again. Newly champions, right? Again, it's like we're coming out of All In, and so there's only so much you can cram in 2 weeks, right? So again, you're establishing what this next thing will be for them. So I think it was good. I think we had to like calm down from the MJF match, and then we kind of like build back up. But yeah, this was really strong. Like Claudio was like super powerful in this match. Really like showcasing working with Yuta. Again, another example of a team working together, but not necessarily getting that big win, but it seemed like the crowd really enjoyed it.
I thought it was a good change of pace. I will say it was kind of interesting in how, because the other one was a lot more, the first match, MJF Garcia, was a lot more methodical. This one obviously was a bit more of a sprint, and that was fun. But I did feel a little like the emotion was, since there's no emotion, it felt like it was missing a little something.
Yeah, like this was more like speed and like kind of had an unpredictability about it. So it kind of like picked up the pace, less technical, more speed related, right? Like kind of mixed, like you said, that pace is a little bit different.
How is the Elite landing for you right now with what they're doing with kind of running the company and everything else? I feel a bit like I'm a big fan of the Bucks. I'm a big fan of the Elite, but I feel like there's just bigger threats in AEW than them right now. And it makes me feel like, I don't know. I kind of like them better as people I'm supposed to cheer for. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's, as we'll get to it tonight, but there's a lot of bad guys now. Someone had a comment, Robert.
Yeah. Robert says, hello, Jack and Emily. Sorry, Jack, you're definitely losing the hair game tonight. I will shrink Emily's window this very second.
Wow. He's going to put a big sticker on my head or something.
Right. We're going to cover this up.
Oh man. You don't make Jack mad. He's going to go off heel on me. No, I think obviously they're causing trouble either way, whether they're, you know, running things kind of in their own way or in the ring. So I think they're just causing havoc. They're kind of like tearing pieces apart and it's going all over, which we saw later in the pay-per-view.
Right. And we get to the next match here. And by the way, everyone's laughing at my hair will not be denied.
No, I mean, you do have a good, like,
a coif.
Coif.
Yes, it's it.
Very nice.
You know, it's all I have, really.
I mean, it is. You always have a good hair game. So Flobo and I did talk about that.
Well, that's I always make sure Flobo knows I have a good hair game. He's a very easy person to have better hair than. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Inc. podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to talk a little bit about this international championship match, Pac versus Will Ospreay. Story here is Pac felt overlooked being the number one contender when Ospreay got the championship match instead of him. But Ospreay says that Ospreay's been chasing Pac since he first started. So the match is a bit of an anything you can do, I can do better matchup. And eventually, Styles clash and Hidden Blade. Ospreay wins and retains the championship. Later, Ospreay tells Ricochet to stop collecting a paycheck and start getting some wins. This one was a fantastic matchup, and we had a lot of good ones tonight, but this one had a lot of people saying right away, this was an all-timer. Do you think that this was an all-timer?
This was amazing. Like, to have this, like, when I was watching and it's like the third match of the pay-per-view, I was like, oh no, where are we gonna go from here? Like, yeah. Will Ospreay amazes me every freaking time. I've seen him up close and personal. I've seen him in pay-per-views at New Japan, all over, and like, blows me away every time. And I liked, remember we talked a lot about the emotion. There was a lot of emotion in this match. This felt very, very personal. And you know, Will Ospreay is somewhat of a newly signed talent to AEW-ish, you know? So he's still like putting down his little breadcrumbs of like who he wants to face, establishing these rivalries. And this one that it just, you know, it got really personal. Like, I feel like they sunk their teeth into this match. Very gritty, great pacing.
Another very fast paced one that really, again, changed the tone. And I love that this one had the emotion. So I was definitely hooked back into the show watching this one. Another one, again, they felt like they were leading with the story in the match. That's always really important to me. It didn't feel like just two guys having a wrestling match. Like I said, it felt a bit like one guy trying to step out of the other one's shadow and the other one saying, look, man, you jumped the line. I'm supposed to be the champion.
Exactly. And like that builds a lot of animosity. And, you know, there might be a lot of people that feel that way at AEW where it's like, well, this person got a shot. They won, like, you know, in their first match or third match or ninth match, whatever. But like everyone's like fighting for their spot. And so this is where a lot of those bubbling tensions, you could see it in every moment of this match.
And something I loved, so this match was fantastic. Everyone in the chat, let me know if you thought this was like the all-timer, if this was the match of the night. I think a lot of people said that, at least after it was over. But we had a lot of other really great matches that we're going to get into. I want to talk about Ricochet a little bit. This was a huge signing for AEW. He's had a, I'm not going to count his loss in the Rumble, the Gauntlet, whatever. I can't remember.
The Casino Gauntlet.
I don't count that. It's like losing the Rumble. It doesn't really count. So he's got one win. And now the animosity Ospreay had, I love this, going up to him and just saying, quick collecting checks. What? I think it kind of caught Ricochet off guard a little bit. I think the fact that Ospreay came at him so hot, but this is the matchup we want to see. How long do you want to see this match right away? I mean, we all want to see it right away, but do you want to see this like build up for a little bit, or do you think they need to get to this one quickly?
So I think it can go either way, because we have there's Wrestle Dream in
October,
and then there's World's End in December, right? Yeah. So it can happen at any of those two pay-per-views, right? Or they can wait a little bit. The thing is, Will Ospreay and Ricochet have an incredible history, right? Some of their matches, everyone knows, and New Japan is like one of the most like ultimate historic matches. Go back and watch it from the Super Juniors if you haven't. It's incredible, right? Mm-hmm. And people are built like when the rumors of Ricochet signing with AEW and then the fact that Will Ospreay was there, they're like all of that conversation started to happen again. So if we can have that happen, it should happen in the right amount of time. I think having it on a Wednesday, you know, Dynamite show, I don't think would be the best bet. It needs to be a pay-per-view match. And they would both bring it.
Do you do it at Wrestle Dream or do you wait for World's End? If you're the one making the decision, Tony calls you up and says, Emily, I can't decide. You've got to tell me which one.
Don't worry. I'll solve the problem. you could build it. They had that confrontation tonight. You could build it. It's 6 weeks away, right? I think you could do it for Wrestle Dream.
I'm not a math person. I know it's in October, but I couldn't tell you how many weeks that is.
5 to 6 weeks.
You could say October's 12 weeks away, and I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right.
6 months away. I think you could definitely build to that.
You know what I'm loving about what AEW is doing right now? And this is something they haven't been good about historically, but since 2024 happened, they've been slowly getting better and better at it. Is they're layering stories, because they also had the confrontation between Ricochet and Pac. So I think you could build to Ricochet versus Pac at Wrestle Dream, which then if Ricochet wins that, then you lead to World's End instead of just, you know, historically it's always kind of been like, who's my next challenger? I'm your next challenger. Okay, well that's the next match. Where now they're starting to do a lot of things where we're like, oh, so we've got some things that can happen before we get there.
Exactly. I mean, there's also, like you said, there's layers, and again, it's like chess. So they might, you know, the little knight might go here and the little pawn, like little pawn's going to go places. But Will Ospreay is in a very advantageous position, right? He can pick his opponents, and obviously he has the pick of the litter. So But I don't think they should rush it. They should take their time because, like, the promo packages, the moments they could have on Dynamite, on, you know, on Collision, like, all of those things could build to it. So I'm ready for it whenever it happens.
I got to say, I'm pretty proud of myself. I got a comment in the chat, and, you know, it says Jack Farmer is the GOAT. And I try not to let this stuff go to my head, but it's not by anyone saying this. It's by Darby Allin's leggings saying this, which I think means a lot. Darby Allin's leggings. Thank you so much.
You realize how special that is, Jack.
Well, he's a Seattle guy. I'm from Tacoma. You know, Darby Allin, I should say. I don't know where he got his leggings. The leggings could be from online, shipped in from anywhere. But
maybe it's Amazon. I don't know.
But somewhere I know where something was from. It's the Street Fight. And that's the Chicago Street Fight. Chris Statlander with Stokely Hathaway, at least for the entrance, versus Willow Nightingale. And it starts fast. It starts hot. Hathaway runs away. Stokely runs away. But the match is brutal. It's hard hitting. Pounce through the barricade. Spear off the ramp. A split into thumbtacks. Statlander gets the win. This was another one I was watching. By the way, with all due respect to the tag team match, I got to this match, match four. I was like, we have three match of the night contenders right now.
We're already tired.
yes. my question to you, thoughts on the match, obviously. On the competitors. But I want to ask you this. Statlander getting the win. Was that an upset victory?
I mean, I'm kind of biased, and I really want Willow to just win everything in life. So I'm quite disappointed that Willow didn't win. But this was another example, Jack, of the extreme violence that mm-hmm. we witnessed tonight. We had thumbtacks. I mean, there was, I'm trying to remember which moment that I think there was a moment where I was very worried for Willow. Yeah. I don't know if you remember.
There's a few.
But I think there was one later in the match that I was like, someone might want to check on her.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of moments where like, I kind of like held my breath a little bit. The splits on the tacks, things like it just was wild. And like, again, it's a Chicago wrestling crowd and it's a street fight. You have to bring all of the elements. And so this was match number four. And so you're halfway through the pay-per-view and you have to like bring everything you had. But Chris Statlander again is reestablishing herself. You know, she needed this. They've been building this for a while. That dive, like the dive through the table, I'm remembering. It's just terrifying. These huge spots that are just,
I guess there was like light tubes, like this was
light tubes.
I'm not a huge super violence person in pro wrestling, to be honest.
You're not a super violence person?
No, I'm not a super violence person. I like it when my wrestlers dance. I like it when this rivalry, I gotta say, like Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale are two of my absolute favorite wrestlers right now. And I Statlander was one of the people I was fortunate enough to get to ask a question to at one of those after show pressers.
Yeah.
And she has a presence. If you see her in person, if you meet her in person, I believe at least she has a presence. I think she's a superstar, obviously great in the ring. Willow, I also think you could build a company around Willow. I want to ask you this. Mm-hmm. Willow Nightingale, is she possibly the most lovable wrestler of all time? I've never seen a wrestler where I'm just like, she is so lovable.
She is just, she has such an infectious, bubbly energy and is so kind. And I know it didn't look like that tonight because she brought all of the violence as well. But that's a different side of her. But in general, her aura is mm-hmm. just incredibly kind and generous with like her time and who she is. And she's generous with her opponents. Not everyone has been generous with their opponents. And like, she has had a record year and a half, 2 years, just winning title after title. I could not be more happy for her. So even though she got this loss, I think again, she truly is winning.
So Dylan Matthews, I'm gonna say Fernando first says Willow is the Sting of women's wrestling. I love it. What Dylan? I love you, so I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna question you. Says of all time, come on, Jack. I ask you, who's more lovable than Willow? Who's more lovable? I don't know. Even her catchphrase, smile anyways. Like, how do you not love this
person? How do you not smile? Everyone, smile.
And the fact that she will pounce you through a guardrail at the same time.
While smiling.
While smiling. I can only imagine what I would have thought, though, if Future Jack came back to me during this match, during the splits onto the thumbtacks, and said, just so you know, that's not the grossest thing you're going to see tonight.
I mean, let me just say, ouch.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. You know, you can't, it's not wise. Don't try that at home, kids.
See, Dylan saying in AEW history or of all time in pro wrestling. Look, I'm just saying, name me someone more lovable. Who's I can't think of anyone where I'm like, oh yeah, they're more lovable than Willow. I will never, but Willow could do anything and I'd be like, I'm not booing this
person. Jack, I'm gonna say I will do the splits on tap for Willow Nightingale.
That's how she got Statlander to do.
I got so excited that
I don't know if I'd do the splits on tap, but yeah, I think that Willow is
that's
is
how much I will go to bat for her.
Fernando says hugging Bailey was adorable. Now I didn't say adorable, I said lovable. We gotta be
language.
So this one was great. Again, we were four matches in, and I thought three of them could have been match of the night contenders. We get to the Continental Championship, Takeshita versus Cassidy versus Briscoe versus Okada. Three challengers earn the opportunity, beating opponents on collision. It's a fast-paced one. Okada gets the win. This is yet another one that was fun. This was a lot of action. But I'll be honest, because the other ones were so emotional and heated, it felt like it was missing a little something. Am I crazy for that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we were all trying to recover from the street fight. So I think, obviously, there was so much going on in this match. You have a lot of competitors, obviously, trying to make their mark in this match. So it was a little hard to kind of, like, keep track of and figure out what was going on. But Fernando thinks they told a great story.
Yeah. So I guess it's funny.
To follow through in the sense of, like, following through on, you know, leading to this match. So
I guess it's one that, like, if I watched it in a vacuum, this is a fun match. If this was anywhere else, but I guess those three matches before it were just so good. I felt like this was missing something to me. And again, I think it was because it was sort of contenders got picked like a night before, and it was a good matchup, sort of changed the tone, but I definitely was like, oh man, the other ones had, it's hard to follow Willow and Statlander, who, by the way, it was hard to follow Ospreay and Pac. And so it's like this cascading more and more difficulty, but
yeah.
Everyone in the chat, did you guys like the Continental Championship matchup? Again, I think if this main event of Dynamite, I would have been like, this was so awesome. I loved it. I just don't really know if there's a whole lot to take from it. But let me ask you this. Thoughts on who's next for Okada? Are we getting, a lot of people have been saying Takeshita maybe next. What do you want to see with Okada? And do you buy him as a bad guy? I feel like he's kind of a lovable character too. I can't boo Okada.
I can't boo Okada. I mean, he's too, like, he kind of like always has that little smile and like a little smirk. And it's not an evil smirk. It's not a bad guy smirk. Like, he's just too lovable. He's lovable.
Yeah.
Is he more lovable than Willow?
No, it's more lovable than Willow.
No.
I mean, even when he does the thing, like when he flips everyone off, like, it's kind of like, yay!
Yeah, you're like, let's do it!
It's kind of like how you liked when Stone Cold did it, but it's also very different than when Stone Cold did it.
Yes, it's quite different. I think, should Okada do that for, like, Stone Cold? What kind of vibe are we going with, Jack?
If Okada got on the turnbuckle and held up two middle fingers, I'd love it. I would go nuts for it. I don't know how everyone else would feel.
But I mean, there was other people were flipping, you know, we saw other fingers up tonight. So,
but everyone in the chat, can you boo Okada? I just, he's too lovable. I like him. I'm never going to boo the guy. And I think that's one of the issues I was talking about earlier with the Elite. They're just too nice. I don't know. I like them. I can't get myself to hate them, especially when there's groups out there that are terrible. And I really do hate them. Speaking of people who you really hate, Mercedes Moné defends the TBS championship against Hikaru Shida. The two battle, and when Shida's about to win, she questions using the kendo stick. The delay allows Mercedes to recover and get the win. How did you feel about this one? You cover New Japan Pro Wrestling, so you've had a pretty up close and personal history with Mercedes. Any thoughts on how'd you like the TBS Championship?
I mean, again, like, you know, she's had like a very busy few weeks, obviously, All In. Mm-hmm. This was an interesting like competitor for All Out. Distracted by the comments. I think this was a very well-matched opponent. I think they both could bring the styles that they're both more comfortable with. And again, there was tons of drop kicks. The kendo stick looked brutal. But again, like coming after the street fight and all this tension, I wanted like more tension with this match. Mm-hmm. I wanted like the stakes to be a little bit higher. And I felt like Mercedes might have been struggling through something tonight. I'm not sure what it was, but I mm-hmm. feel like there might have been something that didn't necessarily click tonight between the two of them. And I know that might be bad for me to say, but I felt like they were trying to find their momentum here.
The thing that kind of, so one, I should say I'm a huge Shida fan. So I'm biased here. I think she needs to be on Dynamite more often. I think she's really one of the first people to be a pillar of the women's division in AEW. And she's great. I don't know why she's not on TV.
I know. And we haven't really seen her that much. So like to have a big match like this was important for her. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop your thought, but
It's very, I got to interview her one time and she is a delight. You can actually see the interview still on Wrestling Inc. The thing that got me with this one, and I couldn't get past it, unfortunately, Camille banned from ringside. Camille, obviously the bodyguard, as soon as you hear she's not at ringside, the whole time I'm thinking, okay, what sneaky thing is Mercedes going to do instead of Camille being at ringside? And so I was kind of waiting for this thing to happen, and then it just never happened. And so it was a little bit like, oh, okay, I guess she just didn't need Camille. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And then you wonder, like, because Camille's kind of been the brute force on the, you know, ringside for a while now. And you wonder, okay, she's banned. That's the stipulation of the match. She's banned from ringside. So I was thinking that in the back of my head, too, of like, okay, what shenanigans is going to happen? There has to be something that's going to happen out of this, right? The stipulations don't just happen, but they did just happen. And like, she came out at the end and they're back together, you know, walking off into the sunset. But I wanted a little bit more, like, I'm not sure if Mercedes is supposed to, like, is Mercedes a heel right now? Like it's.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it's playing off. In the right way, right? Like Camille's like this big brute force that's like her bodyguard trying to take people out for her, protector, but like
which is great on its own, by the way. Like I think that's an awesome combination. Camille's fantastic.
But
usually I'm thinking in this case, okay, so Camille can't be at ringside. That's when the bad guy does the sneaky, why have somebody else who's going to sneak out through the crowd and do something, or
Or
Camille attacks Shida backstage or something, mm-hmm. but there was none of that happened. It was just like, oh, it's just a match without Camille there.
Like what's the handicap? Like, are you going to take Shida out in the back and then she's injured, like has an injured leg or arm or something, like, and then it's, you know, like what's the, what's the notch to make it to your advantage.
Right. Yeah. It's so that's what took away from me is the whole time I was waiting for that shoe to drop and it never did. But I hope Sheeta gets some more TV time. She's fantastic.
I do too.
Mercedes, I think she's a star. I just want to see, I want to feel more like she's that conniving bad guy instead of.
Like I want her to be like CEOs, like everyone's mad, right? CEOs get tons of money every year, billions of dollars they make, right?
Right. From
the little people, right?
We're
all the little people. So use all of that, like all that corruption, right?
Yeah.
Like build all that corruption and all of that stuff and use it in those matches. Use it to tell those stories. You know, she says money changes everything. So
change it.
Grit of that, you know?
Yeah. Like,
what is that? What is that change? Or is it in yourself? Is it in others? Is it in the organization? Like I want the nitty gritty of it.
Stressla with a super chat says, what didn't click was Monet's offense. She's not athletic enough for half the stuff she tries. I think she's athletic enough. Yeah,
I agree.
I will say that finish though, she does. I feel like it never quite hits right. And I don't know. I'm not a wrestler, so I'm not going to try to pick apart whose fault it is or whatever, but I feel like just go back to the bank statement, you know, like, you don't need to do all this lifting and stuff personally, but what do you think about that? Do you think Stressla has a point or you disagree?
No, I don't necessarily agree. I think it really depends on her opponent. And I know like in this new era of her wrestling, she's been trying to do new things. She's been training a lot more in the Joshi style and trying new things. And so I feel like she's adapting to some of her opponents and again, trying new finishers. And I think she just has to find the thing that's going to work most and make her offense, to Stressless point, really strong because she is TBS champion and she's New Japan Strong Women's champion. So she has to be super strong all the time. And so she has to like find what works for that. But I think she is definitely athletic enough to achieve it and do it. She just has to find the right like structure and pattern and
It also just feels like it takes so much setup to do her current finisher. Like I feel like once you get to
there has
so
to be
much
like stuff, flow. It has to flow.
Yeah. Like you gotta be able to just like do boom instead of like it feels like she's like positioning and moving around, like, okay, let's go. Are we gonna get there? I don't know.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
But we get to the World Championship match. Jack Perry versus Brian Danielson. The scapegoat shows up with a SWAT team security and the Young Bucks holding his championship and goat mask. Perry works Daniel's neck. Danielson works on Perry's arm. Ref gets knocked out. Young Bucks storm the ring. They hit the TK driver. Claudio chases off the Bucks and the fight continues. Eventually, Perry accepts his fate and eats the knee. And Brian Danielson is still your world champion, but that's not what everyone's talking about. After the match, Christian comes down with the contract. Moxley and the Blackpool Combat Club stop him, and then they try to murder him. So first defense in the books. There's a lot to take away here. We can go back and forth a little bit, but championship matchup, Blackpool Combat Club. Christian, what do you want to talk about? I don't want to say Cody Rhodes there, but what do you want to talk about?
Yeah. I was like, wait, this is the wrong show, Jack. I mean, I think I'm recovering. This match totally blew me away. I know other people in the chat might have different opinions, but I was having like a panic attack near the end, especially during that moment with the plastic bat.
Yeah, people are kind of splitting here. Some people saying that it was boring. Some saying it was Jack Perry's best match. Let's kind of break down the individuals here. I want to start with Jack Perry.
Okay, let's break it down, Jack.
Let's break it down. We got Jack Perry. People are split on this guy. They have strong opinions. I, for one, think that he has been fantastic since he's been reborn as the scapegoat. I think before he was one character, he tried to become a bad guy. It didn't really stick. But now I think he's hit a whole other level. I think he's doing fantastic. Do you agree with me, or do you park your car in another garage? Are you like, no, this guy's trash?
No, I'm parking my car right next to you, Jack. I'm there with you.
Same garage.
Same garage. Same parking spot. I'm just no. No, I think Perry again repackaged, rebranded himself as the scapegoat. We obviously saw him kind of go away a little bit, kind of do some, a run at New Japan. We saw him come out with all, like you said, those security guard. They kind of remind me of stormtroopers a little bit. They kind of have that dark side element to them. And I think, again, I know we've talked about people that are really young in kind of coming up in AEW, and he's one of those guys that is just at the cusp of what he can do. Mm-hmm. And I know that in the next, he just had a match with Bryan Danielson, legend. And he is up at his level at this point in his career.
I think so too.
This is just like the beginning.
And I don't want to act like this was all intentional or the way that it happened was the best way it happened. But when he was Jungle Boy, everyone said he needed to change eventually and be like a Hollywood character and stuff like that. And maybe that would have been good. But when wrestlers just change who they are, it never feels authentic. But for as good or bad as everything Jack Perry went through over the past couple of years, this change feels like it's an authentic thing, and it is kind of rooted in a reality of being a scapegoat in some ways. Again, I'm not saying I co-sign on everything that happened with it. I don't know everything that happened, whatever it is, he came out of it now looking like he could be this different person.
Yeah, well, it also shows, like you said, it's rooted in reality or authenticity. Like, every character or persona that we see is like a nugget of truth, right? A nugget of who this person is, right? Just amplified. So is this the real Jack Perry that we saw tonight? I'm blown away that he's bringing these types of matches at this point.
I want to talk, this will be probably quick, but I want to talk about Christian, because we got an answer today, and he has a contract for a championship match, and a lot of people didn't know if that meant that he just gets a shot or if it was like money in the bank. But today we found out it's clearly kind of money in the bank, cash it in whenever you want. This is intriguing, especially I talked about some of the great villains and great villain groups. Christian, for my dollar, the best bad guy in pro wrestling right now. I think he's knocking out of the park. Just quick thoughts on Christian and how the contract now that we know he can cash in any time, and Bryan Danielson's career essentially is on the line at the same time, the stakes that have just been added.
I mean, this is how you do it. Like, you up the stakes. Like, you know, one can say Bryan Danielson's on his so-called retirement tour as champion, right? It can end at any point. So the fact that it can not only end because Christian cashes it in and wins, or depending on whatever match he has next, Danielson has next, like, it just means that it's this tumultuous ride psychologically for Danielson, but mm-hmm. also like emotionally and physically, he doesn't know what's next, and it can happen. It seems like any moment. And we have two big pay-per-views through the end of the year, or it can happen on any other weekly show.
Yeah.
I'm saying it ups the anxiety of all of us too, of like, when is it going to end? Cause like when we listened to commentary tonight, it was like, is this the last few minutes of Danielson's career? Oh, and he felt that at All In at Wembley. You felt it in the crowd, the emotion of it. And then you're going to feel it every week when you watch it. Like when you have, you know, Danielson in the ring.
It's very, and the idea of someone like a Christian being the one to end Bryan Danielson's career, like he'd be such a good candidate for that because everyone already hates him. And could you imagine him being like, I made you a better dad. Now you can be home with your kids. Oh my goodness. It'd be the worst.
Oh, it's just like full circle moment. And yeah. I mean, it has to be you are going to be the biggest heel. You're going to be plastered all over the news, all over social media. Like, who took out Bryan Danielson?
Yeah.
Like who ended? Like it's going to be emotional, and like we're all going to be a nervous wreck.
Max Feldman, talking about Christian, says he needs to be stopped at all costs. He is the best wrestling villain in wrestling. He's the best villain in wrestling right now.
Maybe him, maybe MJF can help.
But so this is the big meat and potato, the juiciest part of the night. And I'm not talking about all the blood, but like story-wise the juiciest part. Christian comes down, Blackpool Combat Club comes out, stops him, but then they attack Bryan Danielson. They put a bag over his head. Shafir is there. Pac and Shafir are in. Yuta and Danielson are out. A lot to pick apart here. Clearly, it looks like something between Moxley and Danielson is going to go down. Moxley still wants to talk to Darby Allin. Where does Yuta fit in all this? Are they still the Blackpool Combat Club? Are they something different? What's going on here? You're a news person, Emily.
I don't know
what's going on.
I need to get to the bottom of this. I think we're still all trying to figure out exactly what happened. Yuta's so upset, visibly upset, we saw. Danielson, that moment when the look of shock on Danielson's face, I think we all like stopped and we're looking around wondering what was going to happen. Obviously the worst possible scenario happened.
Yeah.
And that terrifying image of the plastic bag and there are not a lot of moments or things that make me uncomfortable. And that was one of those moments that took me out of the show and made me very uncomfortable. Kind of sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
That was just completely over the top, and I think really unnecessary.
It was, I mean, Stressless asks a question. I think at least I was wondering is, was JR really as disgusted as sounded, I was over the plastic
bag? Did you hear that on commentary? He sounded completely like was going to walk off. That's what it sounded like.
I mean, either JR was really upset.
Yeah.
Or he just reminded us why he's one of the best of all time, because he absolutely seemed like he was about to walk off set. He sounded like he was about to protest AEW right there.
Yeah,
on commentary.
And put the headset down and say I'm out.
Yeah,
like even after this moment, and then after the main event, I kind of heard the shock as well. Yeah. So obviously it could go, I don't know if we'll find out more, but it was, it really just like shifted the whole show after that moment. Like, I really want to know people. I don't know if you know people that were there in person, but I want to get their feedback of what the crowd was, what that feeling was like.
Cause it was very like, that was, it's interesting. We haven't seen anything like that, at least in, I think someone said, like Terry Funk did it back in the day, but like that would be decades ago at this point. And so I don't know what safety precautions they put in place to make sure that was okay, or I don't know if there was like a safe word. I don't know what they did.
No, I mean, did you see the statement that AEW put out at like 10:15? They said, due to the graphic nature of the attack on Bryan Danielson, we will not be sharing the footage. AEW does not condone such actions.
I mean, yeah, that's because that's that. I guess the scary thing is like you never want kids to try this at home.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that they shouldn't try at home in pro wrestling, but you know.
Yeah, like this is definitely not something you want to try. Don't.
But that said, so is this the Blackpool Combat Club or is this a different group, you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're broken up. I mean, Danielson's kicked out.
Yuta seemed kicked.
Well, Yuta's heartbroken. Like he lost, like someone said in the chat, like he was like separated from his parents.
So do you think Yuta was kicked out or do you think that he still has a choice? Because they didn't attack him.
No, I meant Danielson.
Or Danielson's out, but Yuta. Do you Yuta think Yuta is kicked out? Because
I think Yuta's going to have to make a choice.
Like, interesting. And then, so do you think they're going to ask him to make a choice and then maybe try to get Darby Allin as well?
Maybe.
Because Darby.
He looked like he was just, like, someone took away his, like, candy. Like, his little treat.
AIA says I think it's a different group.
It feels like a different group because how can you continue that way?
It's plus, I mean, the name Blackpool Combat Club has long not made sense.
Well, that's a whole other,
that's a whole thing. So it doesn't make sense anymore. But I think I'm excited for the group. I think an evil Claudio is going to be very fun to see.
So fun.
Just bulldozing people. But then it also leads to the question, I guess, because Yuta's still part of the Trios Champions, so they can't just get rid of him as quickly as all that. But very interesting.
Like, step away, like, because he looked quite upset. So maybe there's he'll have to turn on someone too, make that call.
Everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments, let us know what you guys think about this next group. Do you like what happened? Are you glad that Blackpool Combat Club has imploded? Do you wish they were still together? Let us know. This was, I think, going to be one of the big talking points story wise, coming out of this. But of course, there's going to be a lot of talking points about this main event. Ooh. Steel cage match, Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Adam Page. These two have been at war, and now it's the most personal battle in pro wrestling today. Both men have pushed each other further and further beyond the brink. Before the match even starts, Swerve is trying to use the cage to chop off Hangman's head.
They use
barbed wire. They use cinder blocks. A photo gets stapled to a guy's face. But in the end, it's a needle to the cheek and a chair to the dome by referee stoppage as Adam Page finally gets a win over Swerve Strickland. Emily, I think Excalibur said it best at the end. Hangman got his win, but at what cost?
Seriously, so much violence. But the one thing that was missing, Jack, was fire.
There was fire.
They had that whole thing burning down Swerve's house. You need fire. Set the cage on fire. That's how you up the stakes in a cage match. Set it all on fire.
Emily sees a guy get an attempted murder, and suddenly she's changed. You've changed.
You know, it's here lovely. Okay, set everything on fire.
I want it to burn.
Let it burn.
Here I thought you were going to be like, yeah, this is too gruesome for me. Like, no, we need fire.
We need more stuff on fire.
We need chainsaws.
Bring it.
did not expect that, but this one, half this match, I was just like cringing.
So there was tons of violence. And again, I think we have to mention, Jack, it was unsanctioned. So they mentioned it's unsanctioned by AEW. Yeah. Yeah.
Jay Willie says, this Emily is a sadistic lady. I'm a fan.
Wrestling brings it out of me. what I wanted is there was all of these items in the ring, but I wanted more, seriously. I wanted more with the cage.
Yeah?
You're in the cage, but I wanted more. Like, it was up there, but like, Yeah, I wanted more.
There were so many moments like that vertebraker onto Adam Page,
where he
missed the cinder block, but somehow that made it look like it hurt more.
Look, it hit him on the back, which I was like, I think he broke some ribs.
And then that power bomb Swerve took onto there. I was like, oh my God, he's going to feel that every time he sits up for the rest of his life.
Like, seriously, he's going to feel that. He's going to be like, oh yeah, that was September 7th, 2024. What the needle freaked me out though. The needle, that was, I don't know if you like needles, but needles.
Needles?
I don't know. You don't like to get shot.
It's like, you know what? Of course, I'm finding out, sadistic. You go to the doctor and you're like, hey, am I getting a shot today? Come on. What did I come here for?
That's my new catchphrase. Sadistic Emily coming your way.
And it was in the mouth. Like, what he put in the mouth? I don't
even... What was it? Was he going to get knocked out? Like,
I don't know.
Was it a sedative?
I was so worried. I thought what was going to happen is he was going to put it through the cheek and then squirt it to come out the other side. I was like, oh my gosh.
I thought we were going to see the needle on the other end.
Yeah. I was like, please don't. Because again, I'll be honest, like, look, I've said that I like most wrestling. Deathmatch stuff.
Was this too heavy deathmatch style for you, Jack?
This whole time, I was like, oh my God.
Jack, you can't handle the blood and the gore and the violence, Jack?
No.
Wow, Jack, I found something.
I saw enough. I was like, ugh. I was there live for the Texas death match. And I was like,
Do you want to know what is on my microphone and media case that I travel with? It says, I heart death match wrestling. And it has a heart and it has blood and all of that. You probably didn't think that.
Well, I think Robert says, don't talk bad about Emily's hair, Jack. You know what? I think you win. I'm just going to give it. If you're this violent, I think you win the hair. I'm not. I was thinking to myself, if I was a pro wrestler, I would have quit a minute and a half into this main event. If you did, as soon as like someone tries to hold my head.
Yes, you would.
Yeah. Like if you held my head under the cage as it's coming down, like, geez, this is just a job, lady. I quit.
Now I know how to get you, Jack.
like anything that would have happened. If you drop me onto, if you double stomp me through a table, I'm done. I quit. I'm over.
I was going to bring tacks and light them on fire and throw them at you with a staple gun. So it's like a projectile tacks.
If you dumped out a bag of tacks, you wouldn't even need to use them. I just go, I see where this is going. I quit. We're done.
Okay. Right.
You win. I'm good. I don't need this in my life. I'm good. Even if I was a referee and there were tacks on the ground, every time someone went for a cover, I would have to like clear the area to make sure before I counted. Referees, reckless abandon when they count. There's like slam, slam. There's probably thumbtacks sticking in their hands. That's crazy to me.
That's what you got to do when you're a referee. You're in it. You take those losses and those injuries just like everyone else.
I loved how when they started this match, Excalibur says, Justin Roberts says, when the match starts, the lights will go off, and then after that, AEW is not responsible for anything that happens afterwards. But it made me realize, so you are responsible for splits onto the thumbtacks and bags overhead.
And bags. Yep.
You're responsible for all of that.
Yeah.
This
is mild.
This is mild,
unsanctioned match.
Adam Page gets the win. I saw people split on this one too. A lot of people said Swerve needed to win. I'm inclined to believe I think Adam Page needed this one. What do you think?
Oh, so I really wanted Swerve to win, but I can see why Hangman, I don't know if he necessarily needed the win. I feel like Swerve is obviously having a tough, he's rebuilding himself too. And obviously he has to rebuild his mom's house. So he's going through so much heartbreak right now. So I don't know what's next for Swerve.
The I love this. I think in my little fantasy booking world, I think Swerve probably going to be gone from TV for a little bit.
Yeah.
Adam Page, I imagine moving forward, eventually getting to that world championship. And I think down the line, maybe Wembley next year, we get Swerve Adam Page for the title. And because this is, I feel like this has got to be the best rivalry in the history of AEW.
I mean, they're so, they have that thing with stapling things to each other's heads. Like, it's, you got to keep doing that.
It's our thing.
It's the thing, you know. Aren't you afraid I'm going to do that, Jack?
This is, I fear that it's our thing. So we're going to be like at an event in the photo booth and you're just like, hey, click, click. It's a photo booth.
You never know. Or jeez, fire.
Click, click, or fire. Like, what's that smell? I'm burning.
Isn't Sky Blue the one that like lit someone on fire when she was a kid or something?
Did she? Well, I know Darby Allin lit Jack Perry on fire at one point.
Might have been. I don't know. There's a lot of fire in AEW. A lot of heat.
It's a lot of. I thought WWE is the one that's like, WWE's on fire right now. If you haven't been living under a rock, that was that video from Triple H. So I love this show. I thought this was fantastic. Everyone in the chat, let us know your overall thoughts on AEW All Out. I thought this was one of their better shows. I do feel a little bit like a couple of matches, if they were main events on Dynamite, would have been cool and would have tightened the show up a little bit. I'm famously a 3-hour pay-per-view guy, just to all cards on the table. Famously. World ramp. If I'm in the grocery store and people are like, hey, aren't you that guy that likes 3-hour pay-per-views?
When they're packing your groceries, they're like, hey, you're the guy that just likes 3-hour pay-per-views.
Yeah. The guy that likes.
The guy.
So I also 2-hour movies. Once we hit 121 minutes in a movie, I'm like, guys, wrap it up. I'm done. I feel like you could have put maybe the tag team championship match on Dynamite, maybe the 4-way on Dynamite and really tightened the show up. But that said, I really do believe this was one of the best AEW pay-per-views they've done. I thought this was fantastic, even though it was violent and made my skin crawl at times. Ooh. What did you think of the show? And also, what else are you working on and where can the world find you online?
Oh my goodness. Well, this was, you know, an amazing pay-per-view. I always get a little nervous because All In and All Out are so close together. And, you know, you only have like a short window to build up to this. But this was really fun to watch from home. And I'm going to like connect with my friends later, see what the reaction was in person. I think it was really great. I know it's getting pretty high ratings in the chat. I'm going to give it, if I was ranking it, Jack. I don't know if you rank it or not. Yeah. I would give it like an 8.5.
Pretty good. I'd go 9. I think 9. I think the only thing keeping it from a 10, honestly, is the I think there are a few matches that were good, but it went long.
I think 8.5, it could have been tightened up a little bit. It needed more fire. And it really needed more fire.
Yeah. More fires always the thing. But everyone in the chat sounds like, they're giving us pretty good scores there. Mm-hmm. Again, everyone in the chat with Robert, Max, Stressless, Secular Belt sneaking in at the end. Thank you so much for coming through, by the way. Low Vision Technology also coming in at the very end here.
Nice.
Appreciate you guys. Please do us a favor. Like, comment, share, subscribe. I say it for a reason. It's because I'm begging you to put us over. Leave a comment too that says you like us as a duo. That gets us booked more. That's kind of how the game works. So do that. But Emily, before we go, where can the world find you online? What stuff you're working on?
Yes. Follow me on all social platforms at Emily May Heller. And just follow me all there. You'll see, like, I have some upcoming shows coming up I can't quite announce. And I'm going to be covering some other pay-per-views in the next few months. So I'll be going around jet setting all over. So I appreciate the support. Jack, this was so much fun.
Yeah, it's fun getting to reconnect with you. And you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Of course, I'm always covering the shows on Monday with Triple J, covering WWE Raw, covering Dynamite on Wednesday with a Motley Crew. It seems like that one changes all the time. But I'm there on Wednesday covering Dynamite as well. And you can check me out doing some wrestling shows. Just did Santino Brothers Fight Night 14. Emily, I did ring announcing, I did interviews, and I did commentary. I got my steps in. You know how tough it is to do all that on one show, but you know what?
I've done that a couple times where you're like, just doing little circles.
It was fun. My voice was not happy with me, but I got through it. It was good. It was a good time.
You're pro, Jack.
Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Again, like, comment, share, subscribe. I'm going to do everyone a favor and hit that end stream button now.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.